Welcome to More Life Now, the radio outreach dedicated to helping you receive more of the abundant life God has given us. Today, Keith Moore is teaching from the Word of God, a message from the series, The Spirit of Faith. Stay tuned, because at the end of this broadcast, we'll be giving you information on how you can receive a free copy of today's teaching. And now, Brother Moore.
You can die without sickness and disease. You can die without being shot or without being crushed or a car wreck or any such thing. It's possible for you to live out your full length of days down here below, be old and satisfied, and completely do all the will of God for your life. I know of cases like this. I'm thinking of a man right now. He was older and had a full life in ministry, a man of God. He told his folks, he said, "I'm going home tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. They said, "What, you're already home, you know, Daddy?" He said, "No, I'm going home." And they talked among the kids and said, "Is he losing it? What's wrong? What's it?" Sure enough, 9 o'clock, he had breakfast, went in there, sat down in the rocking chair, smiled, left his body. Hallelujah. Went to be with Jesus. No struggling, no IV tubes, no heart-lung machine. That's the way to go. I said, that's the way to go. Amen. The Scripture says in Numbers, "Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." There's a good way to go. There's a right way to go. And a right time and season. And there's a wrong time to go. I mean, you know, people that die in their teen years and mid-20s and mid-30s and such, never is that the perfect will of God. Did you hear me? No. No. Now, I know some people don't agree with that, but that's all right. Don't think about opinions. Scriptures. What does the Scripture say? Amen. Now, I should qualify that. There are situations where people have been martyred for the Lord in midlife. And they did that and chose that. They could have delivered themselves. Hebrews talks about this. But I'm talking about being killed from a disease or from an accident or some such thing. Never is that the perfect will of God for people to die like that in midlife. And somebody said, "Well, a good friend of mine did, a relative." Well, I understand if they're saved, they went to be with the Lord. And that's better than being here. Amen. Amen. But they may have been robbed of some years that they could have had. And no need looking back. But I'm saying, don't say, "Well, you know, que sera, sera. Whatever will be, will be. We just don't know." You just never know. No, when the jig is up, when your number's up, that's it. I don't have time to go into it tonight. We're talking about something else. But if you look at the Scriptures, there are numerous verses that talk about certain things you do that will shorten your life. Other things you do that will lengthen your life. Amen? And one of my favorite verses is Psalm 91, "With long life, He will satisfy me and show me His salvation." So if you're not satisfied at 75, keep living. If you're not satisfied at 85, keep living. If you're not satisfied at 95, keep living till you get satisfied. Amen. In Hebrews 11, verse 2, he went on to say, "For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." So we see it is faith that causes God to commend us and give us the good report. It's faith that pleases Him. We see that God, through His faith, created the planets. And you and I are to be imitators of God. We frame our world with faith-filled words. If you don't like your life, start framing it differently with what you say and with faith in it. Start saying, "I'm coming out of this." If it's a problem, something been holding you back, start saying, "This is changing in my life." Something you've always wanted to do but it seems like there's no way, start saying, "I will do this." Amen? And release faith through you, even though it doesn't change overnight or in a week. Put your faith on it. Put your words on it. Stay with it. Live like that and it'll change. I tell you what, just in the last, 4 or 5 years, We've done things, Phyllis and I and the ministry have done things that we said we would do 20 years ago that looked utterly impossible. How in the world could an old boy from Mississippi with red mud between his toes, dumb as a post, give some of those amounts, do some of those things? Well, God is no respecter of persons. Amen. I don't care where you are from or what you know or don't know. It makes no difference if you didn't have higher education, if you have faith. Amen. Well, I don't know anybody. Yeah, you do. You know Him.
Yeah. That's right.
Amen. Amen. And start saying it. Instead of crying and complaining and begging, well, I can't find the right person. I want to be married and I want to have a family. I can't find the right person. And you won't like that. You're framing depression. You're framing darkness in your future. No, stir yourself up. Make your tongue do its duty and say, no, boy, I will have the right situation. The Lord has picked out the right person for me, and at the right time, He'll put us together and we'll have His perfect will. All right. Amen? Amen? And talk faith only. Laying in bed and crying, feeling sorry for yourself, never helped anybody.
Amen.
Everybody say faith.
Faith.
Keep reading. He said, we talked about this for a couple of weeks now, by faith, Abel offered Fluffy. Remember that?
Yeah.
If you weren't here, we went into that. He offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, and God testified of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaks. This man is in this book about his faith, about an offering. His faith was expressed through his gift. It takes faith to give, doesn't it? People say, I can't afford to give. I can't afford to tithe. It's not about being afford to. It's a faith proposition. It's not a lack of money that keeps people from giving. It's a lack of faith. Every time. There's nobody so broke they can't afford to give. There is no such thing. No. And I know what I'm talking about because I come from Brokeville. I come from being very poor. And you have to start where you are, and it's a matter of heart and faith. I know of a man, a situation of a person who was in India in abject poverty. I mean, you talk about poverty, sleeping on the dirt. His livelihood was going out into the brush and finding dry grass and weaving it into mats and going door to door and selling them for nothing. That's how he got enough food to subsist. He got a hold of the Word of God about tithing and giving and that God's a good God, wanted to bless you. And he believed it. And he began to give. All he had was his grass. But he began to sow of his grass to different people, including his church and different individuals, and immediately begin to come up. Next thing you know, he had some chickens.
Hello.
Sowed some eggs. Next thing you know, he has a bicycle. And within a few years, he has an export rug company. Has his own house, has a car. And sometimes people say, oh, this is a Western gospel. This won't work in third world. You ought not go preach that to people that don't have anything. You just ought to go in and give. No, that's doing people a disservice. Everybody needs to learn the laws of sowing and reaping. Everybody needs to learn to tithe and put God first. Because God is our source. It's not men meeting your needs. You don't want anybody to be dependent on you all their life. No. We've seen it again and again and again. The scripture said God would take somebody from the dung heap, from the garbage pile, and sit them with princes. Amen. Well, Abel, through his faith, offered the more excellent sacrifice. Verse 5, we read earlier, connecting it with the first part, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him, please God. For he that comes to God must believe. You can't get to God any other way except believing. believing that He is, believing that God exists, that He is real, and that He is God. Now, do you see the dilemma that doubters find themselves in? They say, well, if God would prove Himself to me, I'd believe in Him. But it's impossible to find Him unless you believe in Him. Did you hear that? No. You can't come to God unless you believe that He is. Well, I don't believe in Him. If He had proved to me that He's real, then I'd believe in Him. No, it doesn't work that way. You just judged yourself unworthy of salvation. No, but you must believe that He is, and you got to believe He's a good God. You got to believe He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. How many believe if you serve Him, you give Him your all, you obey Him, He's going to cause you to eat the good of the land. He's going to bless you and promote you. There's no way you can serve God faithfully and not be blessed. He's a rewarder. Say it out loud. He's a rewarder. He's a blesser. He's a prosperer. He's a promoter. He's a rewarder. Amen. He's a good God. That's why Brother Oral Roberts used to always say, God's a good God, and God's going to do something good for you today. Well, that's faith, isn't it? Simple, basic faith, expecting, instead of getting up going, oh no, another day I got to go to work, got to get money and pay bills. No, expect something good, something better than what you had thought about to happen for you today, because God's just that way, and you open the door for Him to do it. Verse 7, now finally getting to our next verse for this week. Verse 7, somebody says, why you do all that review? Because I want to. Because I think I should. Amen. Amen. If I didn't, I'd just go straight to this verse. I could do that. I could just cut right straight to verse 7. But I don't want to. Because I don't sense that that's what we should do. You understand, I don't know if you've thought about it this much, but in Ecclesiastes, there's a scripture that sounds too simplistic, but it says, when a tree falls, wherever the tree falls, that's where it lays. People go, oh, that's deep, that's deep. Wherever the tree falls, if it falls to the west or the north, wherever the tree falls, that's where it lays. Well, I grew up in the country. We went out and cut timber. I logged for a while. We cut pulpwood and we did different things, especially logging. You're out in the thick woods. If you want to cut a tree, a term for it is to lay the tree. You want to lay the tree where you want it, especially if you're in a subdivision.
And that concludes today's message by Brother Keith Moore. If you would like a free copy of today's teaching from the series, The Spirit of Faith, you may call More Life Ministries at 417-334-9233. That's 417-334-9233. Just mention that you heard this message on the radio. You may also download this and other messages from our website at morelife.org, where you will find additional information about this ministry, including an itinerary of upcoming meetings. Remember to join us in Branson, Missouri on Monday, June 4th, as we begin our week-long marriage meeting. Thank you for joining us today, and be sure to tune in next time for More Life Now.